you know, when we first started this series, one of the things about Jonah that I think gets lost on us as adults is that we were taught it so early as children. You know, when you think about kind of the Old Testament stories, if you grew up in church, you know this, in Sunday school or vacation Bible school or whatever, you know, kind of the big three is some story about Moses, right? Usually it's the Ten Commandments or parting the Red Sea, something like that. You got that one. You have Noah's Ark, right? And then you have Jonah. You know, Jonah being swallowed by a whale. Those are like the big three that you remember as a kid, no matter how long it's been since you've been out of Sunday school or VBS, you kind of remember those things. And so what happens is when we become adults and we hear that, we're flipping through our Bibles, maybe we're reading and we hear that there's going to be a message or a talk on the book of Jonah, we just automatically say, well, you know what? That's a kid's story. I don't really need to tune in for that. But that's what's wrong. It's not a kid's story. It probably, you know, I don't even know if kids could even grasp what it truly meant. You know, those stories that we taught them back then. Because it's not a story about kids, it's a story about us. It's a story about adults. It's about an adult man who was a prophet for Israel, that God spoke to him and he was able to speak to the people, to the Israelites. He was one of the prophets. And God asked him to do something. He said, I need you to go to Nineveh. I need you to go preach to your greatest enemy and tell them to repent because I'm coming. And we don't know why Jonah chose to not go. We can speculate because we can put ourselves in his shoes. Maybe he was scared. Maybe he knew, man, if I go into Nineveh, I'm going to die. And he didn't want that to happen. So maybe that's why. Maybe he just didn't want to. Maybe he was at this point in life where he was like, you know what? I've done a lot for you, God. Like, can't somebody younger than me do this? Can't somebody more experienced than me do this? Why do I have to be the one that does it? Or maybe, like a lot of us, we feel that pull and we feel that tug and we kind of feel this prompting by God to do something. And we just say, all right, God, I'll do it later. And we choose, we just kind of, as we say, kick the can down the road, right? But whatever his reason, you know, Jonah goes and he gets on a boat and he takes off the total opposite direction of Nineveh. Like 2,500 miles away is where he was heading. And he's on this boat. It's like a shipping boat, fishing boat. And all of a sudden the storms come. You know, you guys were here. You remember the story. It got crazy. And the sailors were even like, man, what is going on? You know, and can't you pray to God and tell him to stop? I mean, all these types of things. And finally, Jonah got to this point where he's like, you know what? I'm just ready to die. I can't take this anymore. Just throw me overboard. So they threw him overboard and the storm stopped and a fish came and got him. We all run from God. That's the story of us. We've all had moments in our lives that we felt like God was prompting us to do something, to give somebody a call and pray for them, or just to kind of maybe take a leap of faith and join a Bible study or go on a mission trip or chase a dream, something that God's maybe laid on your heart, maybe going back to school or writing a book or whatever it may be. Or maybe it's that prompting from God to come to know him fully, to surrender your life to him. Man, we sang a great song this morning about I surrender all. Maybe that's the prompting from God. Maybe that's what God is wanting. Just kind of, you know, your chips are on the table and you're saying I'm all in. But for whatever reason, we've run from all of those things. And that's Jonah, because there's a Jonah in all of us. And then last week, we kind of explored chapter 2, where this fish comes and he swallowed Jonah and Jonah's there. And in that moment, or maybe Jonah was facing death or was like, this is it. He has this moment of reflection and this moment of self-awareness. And we can read this chapter 2, which is often known as like the Psalm of Jonah, where he just simply just calls out to God. He says, God, this is the worst pain I've ever felt. And it wasn't a physical pain. It was the pain in his heart, the pain in his soul, where he realized the direction I was heading was not the direction I needed to go. And God, I need you. I need you now more than ever before. Whether I get out of this fish or not, God, I need you. And in that beautiful prayer, that beautiful psalm that Jonah writes, he says, and God heard him. God listened to him in the midst of our pain. No matter what pain you've ever gone through, no matter what you've ever felt in your life, you know, all of these things, you know, you think about your darkest moment, and maybe you're in it right now, or maybe it's, you've tried to block it out of something that's happened, a failed marriage, a failed business deal, some sinful actions, whatever it may be. In the midst of that pain, in the midst of our darkest days, God still hears us. He's still there to listen. So in the midst of this pain and everything that Jonah's feeling, he cries out to God and he recognizes that God is hearing him. And he has this moment of self-awareness where he says, I know that I screwed up. I know that I did something I wasn't supposed to do. I know I ran from you, God. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not running anymore. He had this moment of a realization that in the midst of everything, but God was there. And he started to remember all the ways that God had always been there. The times in his life where God stepped in when it didn't seem like anything else was going to happen. He started to remember all of these things. He started to remember who he was. He is a prophet of the Most High God. He is the voice of God. God trusted him enough as a man to say, Jonah, I'm going to speak through you to my people. And he started to remember who God was. That God is greater than his pain. God is greater than this darkness that he's in. And in this, he regained his confidence in himself. He regained his confidence, more importantly, in God. And we see at the end of chapter 2, Jonah says, you know what? I'm on board. I'm back in. I'm making it my vow. In fact, he says this, what I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. He says, I know I screwed up. I know I messed up. I know I ran from you. I know all of these things, God, and I'm sorry. And right now, my vow to you is I'm going to make it right. So if you'll still use me, I'm available. And then we see in verse 10 of chapter 2, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So that's where we pick up today in chapter 3. Jonah's now on the beach or wherever he got spit out at. He's kind of cleaned himself up a little, hopefully, you know, and he doesn't have kind of like that fish gook all over him. Like if you've been fishing, the outside of a fish is nasty. I can't imagine the inside, right? And so he's cleaned himself up. He's heading into Nineveh, and he's going to go preach to the Ninevites. Verse 1 of chapter 3, if you're taking notes, there's four things I want you to see in this chapter. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. If you have your Bibles, I want you to underline that, circle that, highlight that. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I think for a lot of us in life, we forget that there's a second time. For a lot of us in life, for whatever reason, maybe because in our own lives, people have done us wrong. We've had, you know, friends, you know, turn their backs on us, or people reject us, or whatever it may be, and it hurts. And maybe we struggle with forgiveness, and we don't want to give them a second chance. So because we won't give them a second chance, in our minds, God won't give us a second chance. But here's what's beautiful. God's not us. God is the God of second chances. No matter what we've done, no matter what guilt you may be sitting in here with, no matter what memories and everything, you can look back over your life, and Satan has this incredible way. And when we look back over our years, whether it's been 15 years, 30 years, 50 years, whatever it may be, you know, Satan has this way sometimes of just highlighting the bad, right? Like, it's a total opposite of social media right now. Like on social media, you know how it is? Like all we see on social media, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or whatever it may be, that's the highlight reel of the good stuff of people's lives, right? It's like you see the picture of the family and they're all smiles and happy at Disney World. And you're like, man, my family's never that happy at Disney World. Neither is theirs, right? It's like, it's just that quick moment where they were not screaming and crying that they got that snap and they just put it out there. That's all it is. It's a highlight reel. It's fake. And just like that, the total opposite is true in our own minds. Satan wants to remind us. He wants to give us a highlight reel of everything that we've gone wrong. And he wants to make us think that that's our life. But it's not. It's fake. It is not our life. We are not defined by our failures. Just because we fail, we are not a failure. Just because we've sinned doesn't mean that our life is over, that there's a dead end right there. We serve a God of second chances. No matter how beat up and banged up and bruised up you are, no matter what you've done in your life, God came to Jonah a second time, and he will come to us a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time, and a fifth time. No matter how bad you think you've had it, no matter all the things that Satan wants to remind you of, God is the God of second chances. If he's willing to give Jonah a second chance, is he not willing to give us a second chance too? Absolutely. And the word of the Lord came to, insert your name here, a second time. Verse 2, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it to the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. If you're taking notes, second thing I want you to realize is this. From the moment that God originally called Jonah to Nineveh, from that moment, before the boat, right? Before the fish, before the boat, when he first time he came to Jonah and said, Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh. I need you to preach the message of salvation to your greatest enemies. From that moment to right now, do you know what's changed in Nineveh? Nothing, right? Nothing had changed. Nothing at all. Sometimes when God calls us, we think, man, you know what, God? I'm going to wait until this situation changes and then I'll go do it. And what God is telling Jonah is, no, I want you to be obedient even if nothing has changed. Even if every obstacle that was in front of you a year ago or 4 years ago or 4 hours ago, even if that's still in front of you, I'm not removing it. I called you once to go to it. I'm calling you again. If God will call us to it, he will call us through it. And the thing that we always want, we just want to sit back and say, you know what, God, I'll do it. I'll make this decision. I'll do this. I'll call this person. I'll go on this trip, whatever it may be. When? And we have like this list of stipulations that we want God to do. Well, God, when you change this, or this gets easier, or this is for the better, or I have more money, or I have more time, or I have more friends, or I've met Mr. or Mrs. Wright, whoever it may be, like everything. We put these stipulations on it. When all that happens, then I'll go. And what we see here, Jonah obeyed. That's the only thing that changed. Jonah was not willing to obey the first time. He's willing to obey now. Nineveh had not changed. The situation had not changed. Your situation may not change. You may still have to go into it scared to death. You may still have to walk through it trusting God and nothing else. You may just have to do that. It would be great if God removed these obstacles, if he kind of took it all out of the way so you could get there. But if you got to get there, you got to get there. That situation may not change. It probably won't change. But you know what can change is that's you. That's your attitude. That's your level of obedience. We may not be able to change the situation, but we can sure change us. I've told you before, like one of my favorite devotionals I've ever gotten is My Utmost for His Highest. And there's one in particular that is my all-time favorite day of the devotional. And Oswald Chambers is talking about prayer. And he has this quote, and it changed my life. He said, maybe it's not so much that prayer changes things as prayer changes me and I change things. You see, we want things changed, and then we'll do it. Maybe God wants to change you, and then the change around you, the circumstances, then it will change. Nothing had changed in this story except for Jonah. He is now obedient, where before he wasn't. The obstacle was still there. Verse 5. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast
And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on a sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose to his throne. He took off his royal robes. He covered himself with sackcloth. He sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation. He said, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast or herd or flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn his fierce anger so we will not perish. So Jonah obeys. He walks into the city, the capital of his greatest enemy, and starts preaching. Start saying, God's coming. You may not believe me, but I'm telling you, he's here. My God is coming. The God of Israel is coming. You've got 40 days to get ready. If you're not ready in 40 days, oh man, I don't want to be in your shoes. And he just preached that. And that was it. And the Ninevites believed God. Third point, if you have your Bibles, you want to highlight, or you want to write this down. They believed. That was it. They believed. There was no big battle. There was not like Jonah leading his army in and saying, you know what? We're going to crush your spirits to the point that we force you to believe. No, it's not it at all. You see, we have this crazy misconception of God that God is going to force us to follow him, that he's going to force us to believe, that if we're not believers or that we're trying to figure this thing out and we have doubts and we have questions, that God is going to beat us into submission. That couldn't be the farthest thing from the truth. God just chases. He just pursues. He just loves us. And he's just there. He's not beating us over the head with judgment and wrath and all of these things. All he says is, I'm God and I just want you to believe that. Just believe. That is all the Ninevites did. That is all this king did. They heard the message. They heard the story. They understood, all right, you know what? God is God and we're not. Man, I'm just going to believe him. I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything. These are guys and gals that had not been to seminary, had not been to church. We're not Christians. None of them. They just heard simply that God is coming, that he loves you, that he can be your God of peace, that he can be your God of hope. But you've got 40 days to make that decision. And without argument, without fighting, they just believed. Let's admit it, some of us get stuck. We get stuck in ruts, or we get stuck in a situation we just can't shake. We get stuck in an addiction. We get stuck in a sinful lifestyle. We get stuck in this perpetual feeling of frustration and anger and bitterness. Or maybe we get stuck in fear and anxiety and depression. I mean, we all get stuck in things. And what we're wanting is Jesus to kind of ride in, ride on this white horse and the same thing that all the Jews thought when he entered, Jerusalem, that he was going to come in and bring this army and he was going to solve all their problems. It's like in our minds, that's what we want to see. Like, man, God, you just need to come change my life. Take away all these things, fix all these things, fight this battle for me. And maybe all God's saying is, why don't you just believe me? Why don't you just believe? Why don't you just believe that I'm God? Why don't you just believe that I have this situation? Why don't you just believe that I have your marriage, that I have your relationship with your kids, that I have your health, that I have your job, that I have your company, that I have your future? Why don't you just believe? I know in my life, the times when I get stuck is when I stop believing. I stop believing that God is going to do something, that God's going to whatever, break this chain of a sinful action or get me out of this pit of depression or despair. Like, I just stop believing those things. And I start believing that I'm the only one that can do it or he can or she can or whatever. Jonah just preached the message, the good news of God. That God is the God of salvation. That God is the God of peace and hope. And they just simply believed. Do you believe? I mean, that's the question. Do you believe that God is the God of your life? Do you believe that God is the God who can answer your prayers? Do you believe that God is the God that can hear your cries? That in this darkest pit, in this grave from hell, as Jonah described it last week, do you believe that God hears you? Do you believe that God is the God of second chances? Do you believe? Maybe we're stuck because we don't believe, if we're really honest. Maybe we believe in ourselves or our own strength more than we believe in God's strength. Maybe we believe in a self-help book or somebody else's opinion more than we believe in God. They just believed. That was it. There's no fancy formula. I had a good friend of mine a couple weeks ago. He asked me this question. He said, how do I know if Christ is in my life? Like, how do I know, like, if I've given my life to Christ? How do I know if I've been saved? He was like, shouldn't I have, like, this crazy, like, feeling and all of these things? Like, he was looking for this, like, instantaneous difference in his life. I told him the same thing I'm going to tell you. Sometimes, yes. But most of the time, it's just about believing. Believing that Jesus is who he said he is. Believe that God is who he says he is. And just taking that step forward, like believing it's all true. God, I believe that you have control of my life, so I'm going to follow you and your word more than my own word. God, I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything. Like, I know that. Like, everything seems lost, but I'm just going to believe. I'm just going to believe that you've got me. And it's through that process of belief that is where we grow our roots. That is where we develop that relationship with God. That is where trust comes in. That is where the roots and the seeds have been planted in our life. All of a sudden, it blooms peace and hope and love and forgiveness and kindness. But man, we got to plant that seed of belief. God, I just believe. I don't understand it, but I just believe. God is the God of second chances. He may not change your circumstances because he desires to change you first. God is the God that can change when we believe. And the fourth thing is this. Verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion. And he did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. God is a God of his word. He just is. Nothing changes. From Genesis chapter 1 to all the way to right now in our lives, April 25th, 2021. Like, nothing has changed. Nothing about God has changed. He is a God that keeps his promises. He is a God that says, if you obey me, if you listen to me, if you follow the leading that I'm sending you to go do, if you just do these things, if you just obey and believe, I promise you, I will be there. God is a God that keeps his word. And I think we need to remember that in our lives. Because for the last year, let's face it, it's been a year of turmoil. It's been a year of having this entire world turned upside down. From jobs to masks to vaccines to pandemic, social unrest, crazy elections. Everything that has happened in the last 12 months. It's easy to kind of believe that God is no longer in charge. That God is on vacation for the last year, right? But God is still on the throne. God is still the God of all. And he keeps his promises. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Throughout the scriptures, he tells us to fear not, for he is with us. He tells us, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome this world. Those are promises that we can hang on to because God is a God of his word. Amen? Even when we don't see it,
Even in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our darkest moments, God is a God that hears our cry. God is a God who listens. God is a God of second chances. He is a God that just desires for us to just believe. Not to have all the answers, not to have the entire Bible memorized, but to just believe and trust Him. And in return, He promises us, I am a God of my word. I am there with you always. I will have compassion on you. I will forgive you. I will show you kindness and grace and mercy that you've never experienced in your life. Just simply trust and obey. Just simply believe that I'm God and I've got this. Again, this book is a book of a story of us. We can run from God. We can come to God in the midst of our pain. But He's a God that can redeem us, that can use us to change us and to change the situations we're in and to ultimately change this world. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, this morning again, I thank you so much for the story of Jonah. I pray that as we read these four short chapters, two pages in most Bibles, that we don't see it as a kid's story. We don't see it as, and try to rationalize, did this really happen? Is it true or not? This sounds kind of crazy. No, that we don't see that at all. That we read this story as the book of us. That we can just replace Jonah's name with ours. Because we've all been there and we've all run. We've all been to that place where we've hurt and we've realized our disobedience. But God, you are a God that reminds us who you are, that reminds us who we are. That we are not lost, we are not forgotten. That we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are a God of second chances. You are a God that even though our circumstances may not change, you're more interested in changing us. And through that change in us, Lord, then you can use us to change the circumstances. But God, we got to believe. And you have promised us that if we believe, you are a God of your word. Lord, this morning, I thank you again just for these first three chapters in this powerful book. That God, that we see this story as a story of hope, not as a story of judgment, not as a story of sin and disobedience, but we see this as what it is, a story of hope. No matter how far we've run, no matter what we've done, you still desire a relationship with us, that you can still use us, Lord, that we're still your sons and daughters. It's in your holy name that we pray these things. Amen.